Monday, March 19th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So the question I'd like to ask today is why the American people allow the government to continue to take action that obviously and demonstrably does not align with what the majority of people actually want, all under this guise, this deception that, well, they were voted into place, so their actions represent the will of the people. First, this is a complete fallacy, as just because someone was voted in on promises does not mean that their actions moving forward are unquestionably the people's will, as lying and unfulfilled promises have become a hallmark of American politics. So where does this sentiment come from? Well, both government conditioning and used as an excuse by blind political supporters to justify actions that clearly go against what was promised. And they throw out that gem as an excuse so as not to shatter their belief structure built on unwavering support for whichever false party they have been manipulated into believing in. Second, anyone who still believes, with the mountains of evidence to suggest otherwise, that we still live in a democratic-based society, or ever have for that matter, is being willfully ignorant of the facts. But again, this is the conditioned response for those who defend their party's actions regardless of how sinister or selfish they are, always trying to find a way to explain why the actions are a backward way of doing what they promised, even if it's clearly the opposite. And then if that fails, oh, well, it's a big grand deception meant to fool the opponents, so just trust them. This excuse that, well, we voted them in, so is simply a way for these individuals not to face the reality that they have been duped. Again, these politicians have a responsibility to understand what their constituents want, even after the election, especially after the election, and to see that will to fruition. Yet today, that almost never happens. Take, for example, the legalization of cannabis. The vast majority of the country wants it to be legalized or decriminalized in some form, yet the government is openly and aggressively going the opposite direction today. Consider that the vast majority of Americans want the U.S. to stop its endless wars of aggression around the world. That was why the America First lie was so popular. Yet here we are, more engrossed in subversive and destabilizing wars than ever before. So why do we allow it? Because we are told by the few still clinging to the hope that they were right, that this is a means to an end, a necessary path to an actual America First policy. But anyone with a brain and an objective outlook can see that could not be farther from the truth. It is this unwillingness to see the writing on the wall, to see the absurdly obvious truth right in front of us, that allows them to perpetuate this false majority. It is time to swallow your pride and once again stand with the American people, and not this false, warmongering, elitist-run, extremely small percentage that is currently calling the shots, independent of what we want. Do that, and we will see some drastic changes. First story of the day coming out of ZeroHedge.com. 74% of Americans believe the deep state is running the country, a perfect lead-off to what I was just saying. According to a new poll, a supermajority of Americans believe the faction of unelected officials known as the deep state is orchestrating policy in Washington, D.C. and effectively running the nation. The Monmouth University Polling Institute found that no less than 74% of Americans believe in a, quote, deep state, when it is described as a collection of unelected officials running policy. Only 21% do not believe this kind of group exists. In addition, 8 in 10 believe that the U.S. government currently monitors or spies on the activities of American citizens, including a majority, 53%, who say this activity is widespread. And most importantly, there were no substantial partisan differences in these results. Right here, this shows us that a vast majority do not support what is going on. So I ask again, why do we let this happen? Or better yet, how is it that we can share such an understanding, yet it carries on? Apathy? Laziness? Likely some, but more so programmed fear, not necessarily of harm, but of not being part of the majority and being ridiculed as such. That silent majority yet again being deceived into the shadows. The simple idea that the majority can believe in the idea of a deep state, even the idea though that the deep state term is grossly misunderstood today. So that could be part of why the vast majority currently believes that, as it's largely been kind of associated with the Democrats and whoever's fighting Donald Trump. But the point is that the majority believe that somebody other than the elected officials are running the country. And that has to say something. We have to realize that that is going on. And so when we hear all this talk about a majority or the people believing and standing behind what's going on, we have to understand that we're being deceived. Moving on to the next story coming out of the CorbettReport.com, China banning people from transit for bad social credit scores. Speaking of social engineering, China said it will begin applying its so-called social credit system to flights and trains and stop people who have committed misdeeds from taking such transport for up to a year. In an article that discusses this move, it reads, people who would be put on the restricted lists include those found to have committed acts like spreading false information about terrorism, I think that's the most important one right there, and causing trouble on flights, as well as those who used expired tickets or smoked on trains, according to two statements issued on the National Development and Reform Commission's website on Friday. Those found to have committed financial wrongdoings, such as employers who failed to pay social insurance, or people who have failed to pay fines, would also face these restrictions, said the statements, which were dated March 2nd. The move is in line with President Xi Jinping's plan to construct a social credit system based on the principle of, quote, once untrustworthy, always restricted, said one of the notices, which was signed by eight ministries, including the country's aviation regulator and the Supreme People's Court. I mean, this is just horrifying. This is something, first of all, that James Corbett has been warning us about for decades. And the simple idea, the gamification, as he calls it, of society, where we're now basically being held to some standard of a video game. We're based on our interactions within society, which is ultimately controlled by the government entities, which we're all beginning to doubt and have a lot of distrust for, will begin dictating how we're able to live our lives. And if our social credit score is too low, we won't be able to ride a plane or ride a train or go buy groceries or whatever they try to stop us from doing. And I think that point about spreading false information about terrorism was a very important one, because this is what we're seeing today. As someone like what we're doing, spreading a very anti-establishment discussion points and pointing out the lies of the establishment, we are clearly going to be docked if this was going on in the United States, claiming that we are, I mean, clearly the main stream effort is to deem all of this fake news. So under that premise, if we were under some social credit score aspect in this country, every time I spoke about this kind of stuff, I would get a knock on my social credit score, and I wouldn't be able to do the very things I wanted to do throughout the day and be restricted from travel and any number of unconstitutional things. Now, given this is happening in China, widely regarded as a much more authoritarian state, even though I tend to think the U.S. is getting pretty close, just they're better at hiding it, the point is this is something that is growing, and it's not just in China. And again, I highly recommend you check out all of the links I leave to James Corbett's work, because this is a very alarming aspect. And we have a great interview with James Corbett talking about social engineering. This is the epitome of that, because people today are so quick to fall in line with something like this. And this is very, very alarming. So it's something we have to continue to watch for. And we need to, as James said, continue to speak out about and do something about. We cannot allow this to continue to grow, because this is very scary. This is very Orwellian, which is such an overused term today, but I can't think of a better word. Moving on to the next story coming out of the DailyMail.com, Erdogan's Syria invasion. Turkish leader says he will expand operation to entirely eliminate other Kurdish-held towns after seizing control of Afrin. Now, I don't usually report on these mainstream articles, but this is one that I think is very important based on things we've discussed in the past. And first, as usual, the Turkish effort is absurdly being framed as a humanitarian effort, which seems to be the running theme for all of these, you know, invading aspects, especially with NATO allies. And they're actually deeming their own efforts as heroic, saying, quote, this operation has shown the whole world that Turkey sides with the oppressed. Except that multiple reports are coming out showing that thousands and thousands of civilians are being killed in these efforts. And there are conflicting reports, but clearly they're coming from both sides. So ultimately, we shouldn't be trusting anything coming out of either side when they have an agenda behind this. But while the offensive has been strongly condemned by Damascus, which decried Turkey's move as a, quote, violation of the country's sovereignty, Turkey's foreign minister said that preservation of the territorial integrity of Syria is the common goal of Ankara and Damascus, and that Turkish troops are not going to attack government forces in Syria. Now, I just find that ridiculous, because clearly Assad and the Syrian government is absolutely opposed to this, right? I mean, they're you know, raiding and tromping through Syrian sovereign territory, claiming they're doing a good thing for them. I mean, all that matters is that Syria doesn't want them there. So, boom, right there, it's illegal. They shouldn't be there, regardless of whether, I mean, that's the idea of this humanitarian lie, right? That's, the U.S. has made a career out of that, saying, no, they're there to save people, regardless of the trail of bodies they leave. That somehow makes the world stage look the other way, as long as they're a NATO ally. But the point that I bring this story up for, the reason I even talking about a Daily Mail article, is the point that they are moving past Afrin, just as I warned before, that their claim was to move into Afrin and stop the Kurdish territory. I mean, continuing their claim is that they're stopping the Kurds. But what I warned about is if we see them move past their stated goal, which was Afrin, the border right there, is that this is more than just the Kurds. I've always maintained that this was something more. There's a larger effort taking place here. I truly think this is an orchestrated proxy war designed to keep Syria destabilized, divided, and at war. And it's something that we've talked about many different times that, I mean, clearly the U.S. has lost what it's been trying to do there. And their ultimate goal, and which actually we're going to discuss in a future article here, is to keep them destabilized. And I think that's what we're seeing take place here under the guise of either a humanitarian effort or, you know, whatever lie they push forward, fighting ISIS. It seems to kind of dance back and forth between those two, that they're simply there to maintain the destabilization of Syria and keep that country at war so they can constantly point at them and say, look, they're out of control, even though it's as a result of NATO allies pushing their way in. Weirdly enough, Russia has I don't want to say supported the Turkish effort, but they haven't stopped it. And they've kind of just let it happen. And I think they have even expressed some mild support for what they're doing. I mean, it's likely because the Kurds to begin with were a U.S. ally, but the U.S. has kind of just... you know, disregarded them now and left them to their fall. But again, I think that was the point. I think the Kurds were a pawn in the larger game here to set them up for Turkey to come in from the other side. Again, this is all hypothetical. This is what I think. But I think it lines up with what we've been seeing. And I've been right in the past about these things, specifically in regard to Turkey. So it's another story we'll keep track of. But I think this is revealing to us what's really going on there, or more so for the people that may have been doubting. We can now see that there is a larger effort at play here. Moving on to the next story coming out of the RonPaulInstitute.org, time for the U.S. to end democracy promotion flimflams. So this is an excellent article that discusses many different things, but the point is that they're discussing the fact that Trump has announced that he's planning to slash funding for the effort behind spreading democracy around the world. And that's something that I think is a positive step for sure. And just as I was saying in the beginning, I believe most can see this for what it is, and recognize that the excuse of spreading democracy was kind of always a lie. The path of devastation over the years makes that pretty clear as far as I'm concerned. But expectedly, this is being framed as a negative step by the establishment media. As the article itself reads, democracy promotion has long been one of the U.S. government's favorite foreign charades. The Trump administration's proposal to slash funding for democratic evangelism is being denounced as if it were the dawn of a new dark age. But this is a welcome step to draining a noxious swath of the Washington swamp. Now, the Washington Post even wrote in a piece entitled, "The Trump Administration Wants to Dismantle Ronald Reagan's Infrastructure of Democracy." And this is exactly the type of speculative hypothetical news I've been referring to. Obviously, if Trump does in fact slash funding for the U.S. program of spreading democracy, a euphemism for any subversive act the U.S. wants it to mean, that would be a huge step in the right direction. And I would indeed praise Trump for such a step. Yet I doubt it will happen. And the point is that simply reporting that he is considering it influences opinion, as if it has already happened, one of many modern means of conditioning American opinions. But I find it incredibly humorous that they're trying to frame this as some kind of a negative thing, despite all of the evidence we have to support how unsuccessful that has been. Even if you like to pretend that the intentions were good, just simply look at the history. Look at the past of all of the countries that have supposedly been forced democracy, and they're clearly unstable right now. And that's, and many of them, specifically Libya, which at one point had the highest standard of living in all of Africa, is now openly trading slaves. And this is something we see in every regard. Anyone, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, I mean, the list goes on and on. And yet none of them seem to be, you know, bastions of democracy today. They're clearly struggling as a result of whatever effort they did, you know, even if the intentions were good. Again, I think it's pretty clear that wasn't the case. But going under the assumption that the intentions were good, to claim that ending this program that has laid so much destruction over the years is somehow a negative thing, is just, it just blows my mind. And clearly it reveals the agenda at play. It's about the military effort. That's what it's really about. And Washington Post is nothing but a propaganda rag. So they're clearly pushing the narrative. So it's something I think it's important to point out. And I think we need to begin to recognize not only that these propaganda efforts are just blindly following whatever they're told to do, but that this idea of spreading democracy, this lie, even under the humanitarian crisis lie, is that a lie? And that we're carrying out very terrible things in the name of the people. And we can't allow that to continue. So one more thing for us to stand up and speak out about, as we should about all of these things. Moving on to the next story, and it's a quick one I want to touch on, coming out of the ZeroHedge.com. Bitcoin battered to fresh lows after Twitter joins crypto ad ban. Now, that, first of all, crypto hasn't really got to new lows, so I'm not sure what they meant with that title. It's actually, I think it's gone up today to some degree. But the reason I wanted to point this out was because first, I mean, Twitter adds that jumps on the bandwagon. I mean, clearly, this is a concerted effort here to banning crypto ads all across the board. Now, I'm not even opposed to, or rather in favor of crypto ads. I don't really feel one way or the other. I do think that there's a lot of lies going around out there. But for them to isolate cryptocurrency ads in all of the negative things, I mean, simply, again, like I said last time, just look at some of the AdSense ads that you see pop up in these articles. And there's some pretty interesting stuff that comes up that I think are, you know, easily you could point out are much worse than cryptocurrency ads that may be lying to you. But the point is, that's not what it's about. It's about stifling cryptocurrency, which is always the effort here because it scares them. Now, I know I've harped on that and plenty of people hate when I talk about cryptocurrency, but this is just another point to show you that this is a concerted effort. And Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, all of them are on the same page, which is another reason why we should all just get rid of all of them for the most part. Now, I actually saw a really great article by Caitlin Johnstone that I'll include, which she discussed another reason why that's not a good thing. Now, I mean, I do always point out that being on these mediums is a way to reach these people. I think that then that's why we're still on YouTube. That's why we still put our content on all of these social media platforms. So there's a positive thing there. But I definitely advocate for simply just a boycott of these efforts and moving on to new platforms. But as long as the majority sticks with these platforms, it's going to be impossible not to continue to put content on there. But again, back to the point, concerted effort trying to manipulate cryptocurrency. I think that has to be pretty obvious by now. Moving on to the next story coming out of ActivistPost.com, mainstream media, Brookings reveal plan to bleed Syria in absence of defeat on the battlefield. A recent opinion piece written by Tim Lister for CNN entitled "Assad May Win Syria's War, But He Will Preside Over a Broken Country" has unintentionally revealed part of the plan for Syria maintained by the United States, Israel, GCC, and NATO. In lieu of the complete destruction of the Syrian government, which was the plan, the coalition of invaders seems to be focusing on their Plan B goal of federalization and fracturing of Syria using Kurds, Islamic terrorists, and other religious ethnic groups to create a collection of religious ethno-states incapable of resisting the will of world powers and one very specific regional power. This shows that the claim of invading Syria to protect the innocent civilians could not be farther from the truth. As the U.S. is now content to, quote, bleed Syria if it cannot take it over, which will obviously directly hurt the civilian population. I believe this is what we are now seeing with Turkey, and we'll see much more of to come. Likely more false flag accusations, as Russia just claimed again, that the U.S. is about to do so to justify a Syrian offensive. So keep that in mind as the story progresses. To me, this just reveals one more lie that I feel many never bought to begin with. The lie that the U.S.-led Syrian occupation is all about the people, the innocent civilians that Assad is supposedly bombing and gassing, yet whenever given the chance, they flock back to his protected areas as fast as they were forced out by U.S.-backed terrorists. What is going on overseas in your name has nothing to do with helping people and is not ultimately leading towards some completion with a real America First policy. It is about control and world dominance. When we can admit that fact, we might just see a real change towards what the American people actually want and not what we are told is what we want or what is best for us. If we cannot see the same policy on repeat throughout all presidents, regardless of party, then we are just not willing to see it. And that is what allows this to continue. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.